I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Roman Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show today?
First up, it's Bulladealer Bowls Club with Alan Fryhart.
Then Mannering Park in Genia Big Four.
From there, it's off to Caves Beach to chat with local lifeguards James and Alex.
And then we head to Wyong and see Steve from Shamrock Caravan Workshop.
And then I chat with Karen and Mark about their Habitat One motorhome.
And I'm going to tell the listeners about some not-to-be-missed things around Wollongong, Jamboree and Kiama.
So, listeners, on with the show.
Oh, hello, listeners. My name is Phil C and this is Roman Oz. And today I'm at the Bulladealer Bowling Club with Alan Fryhart, the Secretary Manager. How are you, Alan?
Yeah, good, thanks, Phil. Real good.
All righty. Now, Alan is going to tell us all about this wonderful town of Bulladealer because he's been here now for a number of years. Tell us a few things, Alan. What would a person be hoping to see or do in this fantastic town of yours?
Yeah, well, it's just a nice, quiet little country town. We've got a river that's been stocked for the last 26 years with bass, so it's a very sought-after area for bass fishing. All the locals here, we just catch and release them. We don't keep them or nothing like that. Yeah, we're 1,142 people here. We've got a mountain here which is called Alum Mountain, which a lot of people don't know about it, but it's actually the largest deposit of alunite above world in the ground, and they used to mine it for up to 100 years back in the 1800s. But it's also home to 87 different varieties of orchids, those people that are into orchids. And there's one orchid here. It's an underground orchid, and it's the only place in the world that it grows. And before they put the bypass in, the RTA actually employed two botanists for a four-year term just to study that one orchid to make sure that they've got stem cells of it. They can transplant it now and grow it in other areas. But, yeah, very, very important. So those people that are on the road and they've got plenty of time to spend and they want to have a look at some old mining works or the orchids, perfect to do it there. Yeah, we've got one hotel, we've got a golf club and we've got a bowling club. And, yeah, we're situated right in the middle of the Great Lakes area. So instead of getting involved in all the hassles of the bigger cities, we're 45 minutes to Foster and Taree. We're an hour to Newcastle and 40 minutes to Taree. And if you go west, we're only 40 minutes to a little town called Stroud, which is where all this started way back in the 1800s with the AA Company. They come over from England with two ships full of sheep to grow wool for the King of England because it was short on wool. And they set up down at a place called Carrington near Hawk's Nest. And the ground there was too salty to grow the crops, so they moved to Stroud. And that's where they formed the township of Stroud and if you go to Stroud, you go to Silo Hill, and there's actually six really big silos that were dug in the mountain there from the convicts, and you actually go in there, and that's where they stored the wheat. But then it was too far from the coast, so they ended up going out to Emu Plains, out west of Penrith, and then they got into the timber industry. That's when they come through Bulladealer, taking all the cedar, and that's when they stumbled across the alunite, which is a rock which they bake under extreme heat and it turns to alum powder. So as I say, now they get it from other mines around the world a lot cheaper than what it was for getting it here.
Fantastic. Now, the other thing, apart from all these wonderful things to see and do here, and you've given us great information, you've also got some low-cost accommodation, campsites, powered sites out the back of your club. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we started about 6 years ago. There is a need out there for all the, I call them the grey rinse travellers. They're all the early birds that's finished early. But look, they don't want to stay in all the big parks with all the jumping castles and the bells and the whistles. They want somewhere safe, somewhere off the highway, so they're not getting woken by trucks passing, things like that, and a nice, comfortable walk to go and get a cold beer and a great meal. And, yeah, we started this about 6 years ago, and I was telling Phil, it used to be $5 for 3 nights. That was our fee to stay here. But after about 18 months, we put it up to $5 a night every night, plus $5 if you want power. So it makes it affordable. It gets us the people, they don't have to cook tea and wash up, they can certainly afford to come into the club and have a meal, have a cold beer, and also filter their money all the way through the through our little township. So, yeah, it's a win-win for everybody.
And you do get quite a few of the travellers come through, don't you? You mentioned before we started this discussion that you get how many vans or how many people do you come through the town? Because they put all the money through the town, not just here.
Well, look, just here, like in a nine-month period, at charging people $5 a head, we took $52,000 in $5 notes, just okay. in can fees.
Yep.
In this club alone, in 9 months, they spent well over $250,000, and that's just here. Right, because it's only an 8 to 9 minute walk up to the main street. You've got a great pie shop there. The butchery is fantastic. They travel everywhere for the butchery, but just your local service stations, your IGA, or your postage, news agents, everything. It's all here, and it just increased the economy twofold after well bypassed 10 years ago. So that was one of the main things here. As me as a new club manager, I've been here 8 years now, was to finding another revenue stream to try and keep the place afloat. And that, of course, is there's a market there. Anybody out there in the club land or the pub land, and you're looking at other ways to diversify, have a talk to your local council, have a talk to me if you like. Just go through Phil. I'm happy to share what I've put in place, and just make a better community for everybody.
Fantastic. Now, it's a great bowling green. We can see all that out there. So can your visitors have a game of bowls, or do they have to just be members? How does that work for them?
No, that's fine. They can come and have a bowl at any stage. It's if you just want to have a roll-up, it's a $2 fee for a roll-up. But we every Tuesday, and a lot of our campers actually base their stay with us, because on a Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock they have mixed bowls. So we'll get campers come in Monday night, and they'll chuck the $5 in to play in the bowls comp and enjoy that. Wednesday night, I call it kick and giggle bowls, because it's open to anybody, but it's a twilight bowls.
Okay.
And then again on a Saturday at 1 o'clock, they have the jackpot bowls. All of our bowls is mixed. It's not a man only or a lady only. Everything's combined, because in a small town, we just haven't got the population to segregate.
So all ages, all sexes, doesn't matter?
All ages, yep.
And what is the jackpot bowls? What does that mean? How does that
what
work?
That is, they put in like $12 a week, and once it gets up to $300 in the prize pool, then you've got to win by a certain margin. If your team does win by that certain margin, you get the money.
Okay.
Yeah, so that people, the bowlers go chasing the money, yeah.
Fantastic idea. So it's a great way to travel this great country of ours and not have to go through the big expense of staying in some of the bigger parks. And it's been running here now for about 8 years, is that correct?
6 years. I've been here 8 years.
Yep.
And even on the bowling green, look, we've had a couple of weddings now. Because, like, to go down to the Hunter Valley or somewhere else with all the expenses of, you know, just hiring something there, we just give them the bowling green. We've got a barbecue area with all the enclosed covers there, so they're not sitting in the sun, and then they mosey on inside and just make a great night of it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic, Alan. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Alan.
Thanks,
you're a wealth of information about this great town, Bulladela. And if anybody is interested in staying here at the club, Alan's going to make you welcome for sure. He's not only pours a great beer, but you're also an entertainer yourself. Is that correct, Alan?
I am, Phil, for 31 years, yeah.
He's been an entertainer, folks. You might be lucky. You might even see Alan playing on the big stage here at the Bulladela Golf Club. Now, tell us, Al, I've got to play a great song for you, and it's only going to be Aussie. What can we play for you?
Yeah, my favourite song would be Paul Kelly's How to Make Gravy. It's not a song about a celebration. It's a song about missing out on Christmas. And, the title of his book and track 20 on his greatest album. And, it's just a great song. Yeah, that's my favourite.
Fantastic. All right, listeners, well, we're going to bring that up right now.
Joe here. I hope you're keeping well. It's the 21st of December. Now they're ringing the last bell. If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July. Won't you kiss my kids on Christmas Day? Please don't let them cry.
I guess the brothers are driving down from Queensland, and Stella's flying in from the coast. They say it's gonna be 100 degrees, even more maybe, but that won't stop the road. Who's gonna make the gravy now? I bet it won't taste the same. Just that flour, salt, a little red wine. Don't forget a dollop of tomato sauce for sweetness and that extra tang. And give my love to Angus and to Frank and Dolly. Tell them all I'm sorry. I screwed up this time. Christmas morning when I'm standing in line. I hear Mary's got a new boyfriend. I hope he can hold his own. Do you remember the last one? What was his name again? Just a little too much cologne. And Roger, you know I'm even gonna miss Roger. Cause there's sure as hell no one in here I wanna fight. I'll pray to baby Jesus, have a Merry Christmas. I'm really gonna miss it. All the treasure and the trash. Later in the evening, I can just imagine. Put on Junior Murphy and push the tables back, and you dance with Rita. I know you really like her. Just don't hold her too close. Oh brother, please don't stab me in the back. I didn't mean to say that. It's just a mind you praise up and multiply this matter. Turns imagination into fact. You know I love her badly. She's the one to save me.
Mannering Park in Genia Big Four is a nice tidy park on Lake Macquarie where you can pull up with the van, camp or hire one of the many cabins here. There's a great camp kitchen, jumping castle, jetty to pull the boat up to or just fish off, and a walking track. Other things to do around the area is a drive to Newcastle or to the entrance, visit the numerous beaches. There's the Australian Reptile Park, Somersby Falls, and within an easy hour drive there's Oakville Farm with hands-on fun for the kids. Or visit Maitland Jail, another easy 1 hour drive. Learn about the history spanning more than 150 years. Hear the stories of what life was like back in Australia's early history. So Phil, play us a song suitable for Aussie convict days.
Oh, how about Johnny Williamson's The Breaker? Now stick around, listeners, after the song I will be at Caves Beach talking with two of the local lifeguards.
Harry Harbord Morant. Is that your name? Well-educated gentleman. That's what you claim.
Well, there wasn't a bet that he wouldn't take. He had a neck that you couldn't break. Bay or Brumby couldn't shake the breaker. He married a girl from Mockbridge Sand. Stole a pig and away he ran. Troubadour and mystery man, the breaker.
They say you're a poet. A great horseman. sailed your horse over a 7-foot fence. By candlelight? What a show.
There wasn't a bet that he wouldn't take. He had a neck that you couldn't break. Bay or Brumby couldn't shake the breaker. He married a girl from Mockbush Sand. Stole a pig and away he ran. Troubadour and mystery man, the breaker.
Couldn't pay your debts. Wouldn't pay your debts. Joined the Bushveld Carbineers. Showed qualities of leadership.
He fought the unpoetic law. He ran away to the Boer War, killing he'd never seen before. The breaker. He wasn't a man to nurture hate till he came upon his butchered mate, and his anger twisted his own fate. The breaker.
You executed a prisoner without a fair trial. You were under orders. Lord Kitchener denies such a command. Harry Harbord Morant. This court finds you guilty of murder. You will be shot at dawn.
My name's Phil C, and you're back with us on Roman Oz, and I'm at Caves Beach, and I'm with James, and who's your buddy? What's your name?
Alex.
Alex. Now, James is the full-time lifesaver here. He works here pretty much every day. Is that right, James?
Yeah, 5 days a week.
Okay. Now, tell us all about the beach and what you do as a lifeguard here at Caves Beach.
So, as a lifeguard, our job is to pretty much keep everyone safe at the beach.
Yep.
So, when we get to work, we find the most appropriate spot for our swimming area,
okay.
Set up our red and yellow flags,
okay.
And monitor people swimming, make sure they're not getting into danger.
Okay, so when you say the most appropriate spot, that means that these flags change every single day?
Yes, correct, depending on weather conditions, swell, tides, anything. So we look for safe spot where there's no rips.
Okay, so for a rip, for example, like we're standing in your tower and I'm looking at the ocean and all I see is blue water and waves. Can you point us out, obviously the listeners can't see, but where's a rip out there, just for me, just for my benefit, because I've never been up in a tower before.
Yeah, so out the front we've got a bit of a rip down to the left here.
Okay.
Which you can sort of see a bit of a dark gap where the waves aren't breaking.
Uh-huh,
and
okay.
And that's normally water going out to sea.
Okay. All right, so as a swimmer who's never been to a strange, or who's been to a strange beach before, his idea, if he doesn't really know what to look for, would be to look, what, where the waves are, but where there's nothing breaking between the waves.
Yeah, so you're looking for, I guess, dark gaps where there's no whitewash, it's deep, darker water, and it's normally a bit rippy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So as a full-time lifeguard, you're here pretty much every day, and through the busy season, which I guess would be the holiday season, Christmas holidays and so forth, how many people would you get to this beach?
I think our busiest day this year was probably about 8,000 for the day.
Wow, that's a lot of people. Now, on 8,000, did you have a lot of rescues that day?
Yeah, we normally have a couple of rescues every day. Obviously, depending on the surf conditions, whether it's dangerous or not, how big the seas are. But yeah, definitely we get a couple of days for sure.
Right. Now, you're the full-timer, and Alex, you're a part-timer. You only work through the high season, is that right?
Yeah, through the summer period, so between October and Anzac Day.
Okay, so you're not as senior as James. Have you actually done any rescues yourself?
Yeah, we're a pretty good team down here. We, I suppose, take turns, or if we see something, we just go. It's not so much of a... You know, wait to earn your stripes. You just go for it. So
okay. So, who's actually in charge today, James? Because you're the senior, is that right, James? Or do you just like, well, we're both here together, so whoever, whatever, or
yeah, maybe I'd get in trouble if something went wrong.
You get in trouble if something went wrong. Okay, so if there was somebody out there now, and it's not a real bad day, is it? A little bit of wind. It's not a huge swell. Like, if somebody was in danger, would you say, oh, Alex, I don't want to get my feet wet today. You get out there and save that bloke. Is that how it works, or...?
Maybe a quick scissors, paper, rock.
Scissors, paper, rock. And then, of course, if you lost James, you'd say, get out there, Alex, I don't want to get my feet wet. Oh, fantastic. Well, you guys are great. So just tell us a little bit more. What about these areas near the rocks? Because obviously the surfers can't surf. The guys with boards, they're not allowed in the flags area. So would that be a popular spot out there near those rocks, or would they be up to the other end of the beach?
It depends on the day. This isn't really normally a surfing beach. Okay. It's more of a, you know, it's protected by the outer reef, so it's more of a swimming beach.
Okay.
So a lot of people swim up the other end where it gets a little bit bigger.
But I did see, in fact, there is a couple of chaps out there now, and I did in fact see before some guys with some longboards. So would it be more popular with the longboarders, or... the shortboard guys?
Probably a bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, it just depends again on the swell and that sort of thing, but yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell my listeners? Like, you've been doing this for how long now, James?
I think I've been lifeguarding for maybe 6 years, I think.
6 years, yeah. Okay. And I guess before that, you've always had an attraction for the water. You probably ride a board yourself.
Yeah, I've always surfed my whole life and been around the beach, grew up here in Casebury, so.
Okay, fantastic. Well, is there anything else? We've learned about a rip. We've learned about the swell. Your people have to stay between the flags. Do you ever have a problem with people not staying between the flags? Yeah, like tourists, for example, backpackers who have no idea and they just want to be way out of the way, away from all your other swimmers. They want to find a cosy little spot and they're out there swimming. Like what do you do? Do you just get on the microphone on these things out the front and scream at them? How does that happen?
Yeah, we pretty much have that problem every day.
Really? Every day?
Yeah. So I guess we can sort of understand people sometimes don't like being swimming where they're told. They want to swim in their own little spot. But
yep,
we're here to make sure everyone's safe at the beach. So we have our designated swimming spots. And if you come to our beach, you're not sure, come speak to the lifeguards and we'll explain why we've got the flags there and why that's where you should swim.
That's the most important thing to do, listeners, if you're near the ocean. And especially for the kids too, mum and dad, if the kids are at the beach, make sure you keep your eye on them. Don't just let them go out there with their paddleboard or whatever, because boys have got enough work to trying to save proper people in trouble, not the kids, if the parents have got to keep their eye on their kids. Now, what about people with alcohol or drug affected? Do you ever get a lot of people down there that had too many beers the night before and want to just, I'll just swim up here, mind your own business? Like, how does that work for you?
Occasionally, maybe on our bigger days, Australia Day, maybe New Year's Day, there's a few people down here, but it's normally not really a problem at this beach. Everyone's pretty behaved.
Pretty well behaved, yeah. Because there's more tourists use this beach, you think, or the locals?
Over Christmas time, more tourists.
Definitely
for sure.
More tourists for sure. So what about you, Alex? What's the most difficult situation you've had to deal with in the water, do you reckon? Has it been just... Tell us an idea.
It's hard to put a finger on, but earlier this busy season, so between just those school holidays, we had quite a bad rescue down at Hams Beach, which is the next beach along.
Yep.
That beach we only patrol during the busy season. It's not a designated swimming beach. There's no swimming area.
Yep.
However, it is quite a dangerous beach. So Yeah, just quite a bad rip down there, and a family of four decided to go for a swim that day, and they got in trouble, and yeah, brought one back to shore, and they ended up leaving in an ambulance. So,
wow.
Pretty
horrific.
Yeah, there's a lot of that happens up and down the coast,
yep.
And 95% of the time it is people who don't grow up around the water and decide to swim at unpatrolled beaches.
But the good side of that was everybody was saved, no fatalities?
No, touch wood, we haven't had any fatalities at Kay's Beach this year,
yeah.
And in Lake Mac, so.
Fantastic. And you, James, what do you think? What would be your most difficult rescue? Do they all just everyday stuff for you, or you found something really tough? That...
I guess rescues where, you know, it's a pretty heavy one. We know if you don't get there, they're probably not going to live. I think they're the hardest ones. But, yeah, as long as you're doing your job and you put your eyes on the water, you'll get on top of those before they
take my hat off to you, boys. I don't think I'd want to be jumping in the water knowing that if I don't go out there, somebody's going to die. But that's what you boys are about. You're professionals. You've been trained. You know what to do. And that's why you're out there saving them, because I think if I ever tried to jump in the water and save somebody, you'd be coming out there saving me. All right, lads, well, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you. I'm going to play a song for you guys in a minute, but it's got to be Aussie. It could be anything as long as there's no explicit lyrics. What sort of Aussie music do you like? Do you like the harder stuff? I mean,
I reckon Alex might have an idea on.
What's your favourite Aussie track? And I'll play for you, my friend.
Oh, favourite Aussie track. Oh, gee, you got me on the spot now.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of INXS.
Okay.
Growing up listening to a lot of that.
Yep.
Michael Hutchins. New Sensation.
Which one?
New Sensation.
New Sensation, all right. Gone to rock and roll heaven. Michael Hutchins, INXS, going out to Alex. Part-time lifeguard here at Caves Beach. Thank you so much for your time, James. And we'll be back straight after this track, folks. We'll be right back.
was really interesting and good information to know.
Why is that, Lynn?
Well, our next stop is Corrimal Beach.
But on the way, we're going to detour to Wyong so I can catch up with Steve from Shamrock Caravan Workshop.
Oh, welcome back, listeners. My name is Phil C and I'm at Wyong with Shamrock Caravan Workshop. And Stephen, how you going, Steve?
Yeah, good, Phil.
That's excellent, mate. Now, tell us all about your business. How long have you been doing what you've been doing here at Shamrock?
We've been going 10 years now.
10 years, yep. And it's a family-owned business, is that right?
It is, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm the owner of the business, but yep. I've got my parents working for me. And
okay.
Yeah, no, we work together as business partners more than you know, employee and employer sort of situations.
Right, fantastic. Now, I understand your dad, he's an actual motor mechanic, so
correct.
He does a lot of things when you get your van serviced, for example. He'd be responsible for looking after your bearings and things like that. And what about yourself? What do you actually do here? You're the owner, but you also do a lot of work. You're a very intelligent young man.
So I'm actually a caravan repairer and service agent by trade.
Yes.
But yeah, I've got that. So I cover a lot of the auto electrics and things like that through it. I mean, we did cover some mechanical, but not to the extent of what Dad's got behind him. So.
Okay. But you do everything. Like I've been here before. In fact, I've been a customer of yours for a number of years. And you do full re-kit outs. If a van was written off insurance work, you'd just rebuild it from scratch.
Yep. Yeah, we build vans, we repair vans, we, you know, do full hail resheets,
uh-huh.
Replace awnings,
yep.
A lot of electrical upgrades, you know,
yes.
A lot of people now go on lithium, putting extra solar panels, so we're doing all of that sort of thing.
Okay.
Suspension upgrades, ATM upgrades.
Wow.
Basically, yeah, we've basically broadened the range and gone into a lot of these specialised markets, you know, and look, the ATM and suspension upgrades sort of works together, and that's been sort of something we've concentrated more on in the last 2 to 3 years, because everybody's given this now, you know, where they're running right on their limits.
Yes.
And sometimes they haven't even put water in the tanks.
Well, look, I've met some travellers on the road that are actually over the limits. We met a chap in Tasmania, and he was towing a Jayco Silverline with a Jeep, and he couldn't actually travel with water in his tanks. So you don't want to be in that scenario. So I guess that's a huge advantage, isn't it?
Yes.
To be able to upgrade the actual caravan. So is that a big process? Is that a costly thing? Or I mean, everybody probably wants to do it, but just explain to us a little bit about how it's done.
Basically, it starts off with, you know, running over what's currently fitted to the van.
Okay.
So the type of suspension, the way the suspension's installed.
Okay.
The and then the brakes and all that componentry. So it's a matter of all of that.
Uh-huh.
And then what we do is we go and compare that to do the sums, work out what it needs. Sometimes a van only needs a simple inspection by an engineer to certify it.
Okay.
And failing, as I said, if on top of that, if it needs more, then that's where we can advise you and say, listen, we need to do this.
Yes.
And start give you rough costings. But okay. As I said, sometimes it can be just a simple engineer runs his eyes over, takes a million photos, and then issues you a new compliance certificate.
Wow. Okay. It's incredible that you're actually doing this, because I remember the first time I met you, which was probably about 6 years ago, you used to do mobile. Now you're no longer into the mobile.
No.
And you're flat out here in this workshop of yours. So what about if a traveller just ambled in off the street with a major issue? You'd be able to fix them up right there and then, or?
Most times we can, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they ring us up in advance, as they all do.
Yep.
We sort of nut out what the problem is and we work out a suitable time to do it. But yeah, look, if it's someone passing through and it's, you know, a mechanical failure or something and it's not, you know, major, or sometimes they can be, but yeah, we can certainly go over it and advise what it needs and what it's going to do. I mean, we had one, I'll give you an example, Phil. 4 years ago, I had a customer ring us up, brakes locked up on Sparks Road.
Yes.
Anyway, they ended up, got a tilt tray, bring the van in. When we get it in, we had to rebuild all the brakes.
Oh, wow.
What had happened, just had an electrical malfunction in one of the magnets.
okay,
lock the brakes on. So
okay,
so yeah, we ended up replacing tire, you know, brand new brake system, new hubs because it had distorted the drum of the hub with the heat in it.
Okay, okay, so that was a biggie.
Yeah, so that one there, I mean, admittedly, good thing was the, a lot of the that side of things got covered by their insurance, so their insurance put them into accommodation for a couple of days because we had to get parts in.
So. Of course, of course.
I mean, most parts we keep here on the shelf, but naturally we can't keep everything.
No. Well, I was going to say, you do everything. You carry a big range of spares. You do regular service work on caravans.
Yep.
And repairs, of course, suspension upgrades. What about the Boss jockey wheels? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Boss is a company based in Sydney. They're an Australian manufacturer of jockey wheels.
Okay.
Now, Advantage, we got on board with them about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Probably best move we ever made.
Yep.
But yeah, their jockey wheel is actually operated by a cordless drill.
Wow.
So you can operate it. If you've got a cordless drill, you can buy the jockey wheel, operate it with that. Advantage is it's rated 1.8 tonnes, so lifting ball weight's never really an issue to the jockey wheel.
Uh-huh.
And also what happens is that you can lift the wheel up. There's a simple pull pin that comes out. Once the pin's out, you drop the base plate and extension leg out of the way.
Okay.
And you can leave the jockey wheel in situ on the clamp for travel, so you don't have to find somewhere to store that.
Amazing, amazing stuff. And this is all technology. And I remember the first time I met you, I think I wanted something as simple as an awning cover, which you do as well. So everything from a simple awning cover to huge upgrades of suspension, and now even this amazing little Boss system to raise up the van.
Yep.
Fantastic, Steve. Well, mate, thank you so much for your time. Aussie music. I'm going to play you a special Aussie song. Do you have a special Aussie song you'd like? It's got to be Aussie. Special band.
What about Johnny Williamson, True Blue?
True Blue? I got to tell you, that is going to be a song. We're going to play it for you. Hey, True Blue, for Steve, Shamrock Caravan Workshop. We'll be back straight after this.
Hey, True Blue, don't say you've gone. Say you've knocked off for a smoker and you'll be back later on. Hey, True Blue, hey, True Blue, give it to me straight, face to face. Are you really disappearing? Just another dying race. Hey, True Blue, True Blue, is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True Blue, I'm asking you. Hey, True Blue, can you bear the load? Will you tie it up with wire just to keep the show on the road? Hey, True Blue, hey, True Blue, now be fair dinkum, is your heart still there? If they sell us out like sponge cake, do you really care? Hey, True Blue, True Blue, is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo?
that's standing by your mate when she's in a fight, or just Vegemite. True blue, I'm asking you. True blue, is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo?
I'm back, listeners. This is Roman Oz, and I am now with Mark and Karen, and they are going to tell us all about their Sunliner Habitat 1.
G'day, Phil, and welcome on board our Sunliner Habitat 1.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're very glad to have you here, and it's a pleasure.
Okay.
So, you wanted a quick rundown on what the truck is all about, or this motorhome's about?
Absolutely.
It's sold by Sunliner, built by Sunliner Motorhomes in Melbourne.
Yes.
And it's sold as a long-range multi-terrain motorhome.
Right.
So what does that mean? Well, it means it's not four-wheel drive.
Okay.
But it is rear-wheel drive with traction control, locking back diff, all-terrain tyres, and a much higher ground clearance.
Okay.
It's built on an Iveco 70 series truck, so it's a 7-ton truck.
Right.
And it's right up to, as Sunliner say, multi-terrain. It'll go pretty much anywhere we've tried to take it so far.
Okay, and some of the places you've taken it to, have you needed to use all the features of the vehicle? Have you ever been bogged or stuck did you need to use those things?
Well, we did, Phil, actually. In the early days of our ownership, we took it down to Braidwood to Vic Widman's four-wheel drive training school.
Okay.
Because we wanted to understand what the vehicle was capable of.
Uh-huh.
And he and his team put us through our paces. Very challenging climbing, descending, gravel, slippery, dirt, and in particular sand. And he tried to bog us in sand, even dug holes and buried our back wheels.
Right.
And on each occasion we were able to pop out of those without any trouble. So in our travels we've been up as far as Birdsville for the Big Red Bash.
Right.
On our way up there, so that was 300 kilometres on the Birdsville track.
Birdsville track, yep.
And we handled that with great ease. On our way up there we went out to by the Darling River north of Bourke.
Yep.
Lots of mud and slush and sloppy clay and so on, and the truck just ploughs right through. So not four-wheel drive, but for a vehicle of this size, it'll pretty much go anywhere.
Now tell us about the size, because you do need a light, rigid licence to
correct.
Drive it.
Yes.
And that's obviously because it's 7-ton.
Correct. Anything over a GVM of over 4.5 tonnes requires a higher graded licence. So
right.
Up to 8 tonnes is light rigid.
Right.
Between, I think, 8 tonnes and 10 tonnes is a medium rigid, and then above that it's a heavy rigid. So this requires a light rigid licence.
Okay.
And both my wife and I went and got those when we purchased the truck.
Okay.
Very well worth doing.
Okay. So how was that for you, Karen? Because you said initially it was a little daunting.
I was terribly nervous, Phil. Going for a licence, you know, I'm 69 years old now. It was a bit daunting. But as my son said, Mum, just go on the internet and do all the questions time and time again. So instead of reading a novel at night, I did the answers to all the questions and then went into the registry, did their computer test, and then we actually went to ABC driving school and did a day course with them, which was around about $1,000. So not cheap, but well worthwhile, and just great to get back on the road again in a learning situation.
So do you drive the vehicle? Who drives it mostly? Is it you, Mark, or do you take turns? Or
I mostly drive the vehicle, but right. Karen does drive it as well.
Okay. Yes. And you enjoy driving it? It's like a big car,
driving.
You said?
It's not a lot different to driving in the Land Cruiser.
Uh-huh.
I probably need to drive it more to get more used to it, to doing all the good things that Mark does, as in backing and whatever. But, yes, I drive it, and I'm quite comfortable driving it.
Okay. Because how long is it, Mark?
It's 8.2 metres long. It's got a wheelbase of nearly 5 metres.
Okay.
Dual rear wheels on the back.
Yep.
And it's set up to tow as well, so we flat tow a little Suzuki Grand Vitara four-wheel drive behind it some of the time on an A-frame.
Fantastic.
So it's got a GVM of 7 tonnes. It's been derated to 6.5 because it's got all-terrain tyres on it, which won't take the 7 tonnes.
Yes.
And it's got a GCM of 10 tonnes, which means we can tow a bit over 3.5 tonnes on the back.
Which you'd never do.
No, we wouldn't.
You'd never need
no,
to.
No, can't see the need for that whatsoever.
So what about fuel consumption? Because you'd imagine a vehicle weighing 7 tonnes, it's a light truck. Is it a bit thirsty on fuel? Or?
Well, that's one of the great things about the Iveco Daily Range, Phil. It's got a four-cylinder, 3-litre turbo diesel motor.
Right.
And it's got an 8-speed automatic gearbox.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of that, we're getting somewhere between 16 to 18 litres per 100 kilometres, which is comparable to our 100 series Land Cruiser, which has got a 4.2-litre turbo diesel engine. So the fuel consumption is very good.
Yes.
And that's with us travelling around, as I say, with 6 tonnes plus of weight on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say, well, where does all that weight come from when... it's a motorhome, but it's not a loaded truck otherwise.
Right.
I think the key issues for us in terms of why, one of the reasons we were keen on this vehicle, is the amount of fuel and water it'll carry.
Well, tell us about that, because it's got over 200 litres of fuel, doesn't
it? Yep, 210 litres of diesel fuel.
Uh-huh.
It's got an onboard generator, a 2.9 kVA generator, so there's a 20-litre tank for that. It carries 400 litres of fresh water. Plus it's got 100 litres of grey water, and we've got the capacity to carry 40 litres of black water.
Okay.
So you add all that up, and we're probably full up, we're carrying about 3/4 of a tonne of liquid.
That's a lot of liquid.
And that means that we can be sort of off the grid for close on 14 days.
Because it does have its own solar.
Yes.
It's got its own battery management system. Yes. It's not lithium though, is it? It's AGM batteries?
AGM battery. So on the roof we've got 450 watts of solar power.
Yes.
Then we've got 300 amp hours of AGM house batteries.
Right.
We've got a 3,000 watt in Victron inverter.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Red Arc battery management system. Now, all these things came as standard.
Right.
When we bought this truck, it had only been on the market a few months when we came across it and we ordered one. And there weren't options. This is how it came. So you want a Sunliner Habitat 1? It comes with everything.
Okay. Mm. And it does come with everything because it's got its own shower and toilet.
Yes.
And they're separate.
Yes, they are.
So that's got to be a great feature for you, Karen.
Absolutely. That was one of my criteria on getting a motorhome, was that they were separate and we enjoy them being separate. And
yes.
Actually, there's a door going into the bathroom from the main cabin. So you can close that and be totally private and get changed in there, etc. So now that was certainly a big feature for me.
Well, it's a very spacious area. It's actually got more space in there than what I've got in mine.
Well, really? it is a spacious area, and one of the reasons that this particular motorhome provides so much living space is it's got one of those Happy Jack beds in it.
Right.
So over the living space that we're sitting in right now,
yes,
there is above our heads a bed that is a king size bed one way and a queen size bed the other.
Okay.
And it's on a chain mounted lifting system.
Right.
And so the bed above us is fully made up, ready for us to hop into when it's time to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's time to go to bed, we just flick a switch above the door and the bed comes down to an appropriate height for us to be able to climb in and out.
Okay.
And so far we're not old enough that we need a set of steps to help us with it.
Okay. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you, I noticed it's got hydraulic jacks. That wouldn't have come with it as standard.
No. The Redfoot self-levelling system was one thing that we've added since we've purchased it.
Okay.
We travelled for about 18 months with it,
yep,
just using levelling ramps,
mm-hmm,
and we found that one of us having to get out and get them out of a locker, climb under the truck, wriggle the truck up and down and one thing or another to get it level for a comfortable night's sleep,
mm-hmm,
was not very desirable. And then if in the morning it's raining and the blocks are wet and you're going to get wet and dirty crawling under the truck,
mm-hmm,
we said, no, we think it's a very good investment to get the Redfoot self-levelling system.
Okay.
And we're very happy with it.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't cheap, though,
no,
to get.
No, it wasn't. No, supplied and installed. When we got that done by Australian Motorhomes at Dennis Green, Newcastle, where we bought this truck from, and that cost $9,500.
Okay.
But a very good investment.
Yes.
You stop at night, You want it level, you just press a button.
Okay. And 9,500 or 8,500, because you chose such a big system, you said that could lift the entire vehicle.
Yes, it does.
You could actually use it to change tyres.
Well, you can. A Redfoot would say don't do that.
Uh-huh.
That's not an approved purpose for which it's designed.
Yes.
But you can.
Okay.
It will lift the vehicle.
Okay.
Without any adverse consequences on this particular truck.
Okay.
If you had a lighter truck which had a lighter chassis, then I mightn't advise that because you might stress the chassis somewhat.
Okay. Okay.
But like I said, this is a 7-ton truck. It's not loaded to 7 tons capacity.
No.
And it's got a very robust chassis and suspension and the like.
Now for you, Karen, last question. What would have been the features of this particular one? What made you say this is the one for me? From a woman's point of view.
Well, from a mother's point of view, firstly, it's because there was seating in here for we could comfortably sit 8 people. We can't sleep 8 people, but we can sit and have a drink. And we have family that don't live near us, and if they come to visit, we can sit them down, we can have a drink, we can perhaps eat outside under the awning. And we have a toilet for the kids, we can have a shower, we've got an outside shower. If we all go to the beach, it's an outside shower. The bed's big enough that the dog can sleep with us on the bed.
Oh, yes, we forgot about the dog. You've got a little Clover. I didn't mention Clover at the start of it.
Yeah, she's upset about that, Phil.
She's up. I can see she's feeling very dejected there.
She's not all feeling like
Phil. Poor Clover.
Yes. There's also an extra 2 seat belts in it, so as well as the driver and the passenger, there's 2 other seat belts, so we can comfortably clip the dog into a seat belt, so for safety issues, that's good. And we've also taken my sister away in it. So
your mum and your sister have travelled with us on one occasion.
I guess, you know, that was the main thing. That was the big thing for me, is the separate shower and the seating.
And the seating.
But on top of that, there's so much storage. There's hanging wardrobe that is more than adequate for anything we want to take. We've got a ample storage for our clothing. Kitchen, you know, it's everything fits.
Full-size fridge, fits. Microwave. Yes. It really does. It's got an oven. Yeah. It's got absolutely everything.
It does. It does.
It ticks all my boxes. Yeah. Have you got a favourite artist, favourite song I might be able to play for you?
Oh, we do indeed. Thank you, Phil. John Williamson, Raining, and It's Raining on the Rock.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play that for both of you. Thank you so much, Mark, Karen Hancock, and, of course, little Chloe. And we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after this, Raining on the Rock.
Burgundy and Spinifex to gold. We've just come out of the Mulga, where the plains forever roll. And Albert Namajira has painted all the scenes, and a shower has changed the luster of his land. And it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country. I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. And it's raining on the rock. What an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me. Everlasting daisies and a beautiful desert rose. Where does their beauty come from? Heaven knows. I could ask the wedgetail, but he's away too high. I wonder if he understands. It's wonderful to fly. And it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country. and I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. And it's raining on the rock, what an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me. Described with a picture, the mesmerizing colors of the alders, or the grandeur of the rock. Uluru has power, and it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country. And I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. And it's raining on the rock, what an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me.
The many things to do while visiting Wollongong. Take a drive to Kiama and visit the blowhole. Take a walk through town and enjoy a coffee or lunch. Visit one of the many beaches. If you're young at heart, take a trip to Jamboree. The kids will love the hours of fun at the water park. For a relaxing unwind, visit the Nantin Temple, the largest Buddhist temple in the Southern Hemisphere. Wander the manicured gardens. Visit the dining hall for a vegetarian meal, or the Dewdrop Inn, the tea house serving tea, coffee or an a la carte lunch. Take a walk along the Seacliff Bridge. It's 665 metres long, a highlight along the Grand Pacific Drive, which takes 140 kilometres worth of coastal scenery from the Royal National Park to Nowra. So, Phil, what song do you think we should play?
Well, I'm thinking, because we've been so close to the ocean, what about a classic by the Deltones, Hangin' Five?
Oh, well, it's early in the morning and it's time to make a start. And I put my poly surfboard on the rack upon my car. I head down to the surfside where the waves are breaking fine. I'm gonna catch a mountain, but I won't go down the mine. You gotta walk the plank, ride the hook, corner left and right, and keep it nice and tight. And now the time is drawing near, you're moving down the wall. Now steady as she goes, you got your toes upon the nose. And now you're hanging by, hanging by, hanging by toes upon the Malibu. And now you've hit the beach and you're feeling mighty fine. You turn your board around for the second time. You make it out the back, swells are coming fast. The first ones are too small and so you take the last. You gotta walk the plank, ride the hook, corner left and right, and keep it nice and tight. And now the time is drawing near, you're moving down the wall. Now steady as she goes, you got your toes upon the nose. And now you're hanging by, hanging by, hanging by toes upon the Malibu. Let's stop! The day is over and all the circuits meet. You go down to the surf club to dance and stomp the feet. And when the night is through, you hear the fellas say, don't forget tomorrow, you got another day. You gotta walk the plank, ride the hook, corner left and right, and keep it nice and tight. And now the time is drawing near, you're moving down the wall. Now steady as she goes, you got your toes upon the nose. And now you're hanging by, hanging by, hanging by toes
Sir Joe. And don't forget, Frank. What's that bushy, bushy blonde hair?
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.